Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, snow accumulation mostly north and west of the city, and if you're about to head out and drive somewhere, exercise caution. Some spinouts early this morning on the roads that you would expect, 495 and 93 north and up in that area. But the city has escaped any real accumulation on this one, Curtis.
Pensacola, Florida has had 6 inches of snow more recently than Boston, Massachusetts.
It's I will take it. I am happy about that. All right. They said it at 7:20 this morning. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45. And then Mego will be here at 9 to talk Celtics. But right now we have leads that remain this morning. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. A feel-good lead for me. In the middle of winter, it feels like we are very far away from August and the Jimmy Fund. And every year when we get to the Jimmy Fund, we meet the best people year after year. And there was one little boy that stuck with me back in 2021, Thayer, on this show. And yes. I think Mitch has the photo of me and Thayer from that year.
Yes.
I took a very nice liking to he and his family, and I've kept in touch with his family. And Kara, his mom, posted an update about Thayer yesterday that I wanted to share with everybody. And it's a photo of him, and it says, "This guy just got cleared for another 6 months, getting so close to official cancer survivor status. In the words of Thayer, let's go."
Oh, congrats.
And yeah, every time I see an update on him, it makes me so happy. He was such a bright light. And when you talk to a lot of Red Sox players, any athlete in Boston, they'll say there's always like one or two people that you meet through the Jimmy Fund that just really stick with you. And Thayer has been that for me. And to see him just thriving as he's getting older, I'm so happy to see that. So happy for Thayer. I'm so happy for his family. He's continuing to fight, and I hope he gets, and I feel like he's going to get to that survivor status.
Great lead.
That's
Thank
a
you.
Good, and, good story.
You know, what you have done, all of you who listened to this radio station over the last, Curtis, how long is it? Is it close
2002, I think, was the first year, so 20-something years.
Yeah, the amount of money that you've given so that those like there who are fighting cancer have a better chance is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So
good.
Great
awesome.
Lead. Great lead. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. Hell of a job, Courtney. Here's where I'm excited and I'm like, all right, you can't F up the church's money if you're the New England Patriots. When you start to look at things kind of unfolding a little bit, we talked about this with Shedeur Sanders. It looks like that the number one overall pick guy that I think a lot of these analysts or these people that draft experts are saying is going to be Cam Ward. And if Cam Ward goes number one, then there's a good chance that Cleveland's going to take Travis Hunter number two, and the Giants going to take Shador at number three. So then that means New England Patriots, Elliott Wolf, Vrabel, who I have a lot of confidence in, you will not pass up Abdul Carter. I'm hearing the lineman, his name being thrown out there, the kid from LSU, Shine. What's the kid from LSU's name?
Will Campbell.
Yes, I'm hearing this. Please do not do that. If you have a chance to get a guy like Abdul Carter who can change your defense and be similar, because they're kind of comparing him to what Micah Parsons is Dallas, you do that, and then now you're able to change your defense, get you back to having a really good defense with a player like that, and your offense will continue to grow because you have the quarterback. But you cannot F up the church's money on this. If he is there at number four, you better take him.
All right, Wiggy, thank you very much.
You got it.
I know that I am accused of being a bit of a work from the office hardo. And currently, federal workers in this country who have been ordered back to work in the office are scratching and clawing the whole way back. Some of them, if you pay attention to the social medias, are threatening to boycott local businesses in Washington, D.C. when they go back, when and if they go back to work. Because one of the reasons that was suggested for the return to the office for federal workers was to help the restaurants and businesses that are dying in big cities because nobody goes into the office anymore. However, another reason was offered by Senator Joni Ernst, who was on a podcast this week and was talking about...
Oh, good. Need those.
We need more. Was talking about the Veterans Administration and the fact that those who serve this country are unable to actually get anybody on the phone or to get an answer on an email when they're trying to solve problems at the VA. And here is what Senator Ernst said, including what one worker who had been working from home was doing to demonstrate their productivity.
So I'll use the VA as an example. They have very few people that show up every single day to work. And yet we have an ever-increasing backlog of VA disability claims. We have VA hotlines where calls go unanswered. Our taxpayers expect that their calls will be returned, and they're not. So essentially, we are paying federal workers for a glorified vacation because they're not working from home. One VA employee who was in charge of some of these hotlines, he actually was on a Zoom call from his bathtub and actually took a picture of himself in the bathtub and bragged that this is where I'm going to spend the next hour while I'm teleworking. Well, you're not actually working if you're taking a long hot soak in a bubble bath.
I mean, it sounds great, honestly. Wow. It's kind of cold outside. Yeah. There's some snow around. Who wouldn't want to work from the tub? Wiki, you love the tub.
I took a nice soak when we went up to Loon Mountain.
I take one every day. But I also think that this is the reason why customer service has gone way downhill. Like, well, tell me why. And you can't talk to anybody. They're like, oh, sorry, talk to Erica, the robot.
Right.
Erica doesn't have my answer.
Whenever you know you order Chipotle online and the order might be wrong, just deal with Pepper, the AI. It's over in 5 minutes. It's easy.
They are the worst.
Really?
Not which if you
don't
can't,
like those.
No. If you can't get a human,
you want a human.
I want a human.
Yeah. Well. Yep. It'll be interesting to see.
Let's have this conversation without mentioning any companies, please. Thank you. I've had to dump like three things.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just going forward.
Text message option.
We're running a business.
Sorry.
It's okay. God in heaven.
Now, this may change
because
the new administration yesterday offered federal workers the chance to take a deferred resignation, which means that they would agree now to resign,
mm-hmm.
but they would get paid through September. And there is a suggestion that I'd be interested, because we probably have some who work for the federal government who listen mm-hmm. to the show, interested in what you're going to do. But there is an estimate that 5 to 10% of federal workers will take that buyout.
Really?
And if they do, that would save the U.S. government $100 billion annually.
Wow.
$100 billion annually.
I'd put that on the table, yeah. But really, people would give up their job because they don't want to go back to
Greg,
the office?
There's another side to this that we have to figure out. I don't know who will, whether it's our president or Congress, but the child care costs are in-effing-sane.
Yes.
For really not child care. It's like 30 kids to a room, and people work literally just to pay child care. That's not the way a society should work. And I understand this. The other side to this, too. 5 years ago, could you imagine someone uttering the sentence, there's no way my company can force me to go into the office? Literally, like, we've all been rewired after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, if you weren't hired for remote work, you can't demand that you work remotely.
But Curtis, think about before 2020. Like, people used to go to a workout class, you know, 5 a.m., then go to the office for 9 hours, and then leave there and go for after-work drinks, and then have dinner, and then go home, and then do it all again the next day. And it was this hamster wheel that I loved when I was doing it. But it seems like it's such a crazy concept now. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to go out for drinks after with their coworkers. Nobody wants to go to the workout class at 5 a.m. before getting to showering at the gym before getting to the office. Yeah. Like, it's a different world. Yeah.
But would you want to, like, if you had the option to, like, say, I would work from home and I don't have to do all that stuff? No one really wants to be on the hamster wheel. They're like, oh, well, you're telling
me. I like it. I like the hamster wheel.
I mean, Greg, but I would...
I like coming in here. I like...
You do.
You're right. Yes.
But I think the job is different. Maybe you're different. If you were to ask a large portion of people, would you like to work from home, that you would get more people saying yes than going, you know...
Can we stop? I don't have any dumps to use.
Well, you can say that.
You can't.
No, you can't. You absolutely cannot.
Of course I can say that. This is America.
This is America.
That's not how that works. There's licenses that need to be given out.
A bunch of prudes over there on the buttons.
We're going to have a big meeting after this, I feel.
Can I say HJ?
Yeah, that's fine.
Nap. If you said to somebody, would you like a nap every other hour at work, they would say yes, but that's because the option is there.
Right, but now I think to Courtney's point, a lot of these, or maybe Curtis, or whoever, a lot of these places are giving them what people are saying, oh, now I'm used to this,
right.
I'm not coming back in. And so what do these companies do other than fire them?
Yep. All right. Well, those are the leads this morning.
All right.
Well done by everybody.
Yep.
That is good. Yeah, that dumb button got to work out.
From now on, every time we say nap, I'm going to think it's the other word, which is kind of fun for the show.
Yeah, I like it.
That could be code.
Yeah, we should start doing codes.
That's smart.
Wait till Ken figures it out. He cracks it.
All right. Let's get to Courtney into what is trending right now.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Bruins fell to the Sabres on the road. 7-2 was the final thanks to a 4-score third period by Buffalo. Mason Lowry and Brad Marchand both scored. While Jeremy Swayman was in goal, he had 26 saves in the loss. The Bruins come back home for a game with the Jets tomorrow, but the Celtics are home tonight. They have the Bulls in town. Sam Hauser, Al Horford, and Jason Tatum are all questionable for this one. Drake May was named a Pro Bowl alternate yesterday. He will be replacing Josh Allen, who declined to participate in the game. The Pro Bowl is Sunday in Orlando. And get fresh savings on chicken today at Shaw's and Star Market. Pick up value pack Purdue Roaster or Signature Farms chicken drumsticks, thighs, or leg quarters bone in for an amazing 97 cents a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to 2 per customer. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Oh, man. I love when, like, older parents talk about how the cost of childcare has always been similar. Like, Go outside.
Curtis, you should talk about the added expense that you have to do once
How much
month.
Is it now? It's expensive when I had kids.
I mean, I'm very grateful that I get James at 11 every day. But yesterday, my lovely school that is free for me has a teacher's conference for about 30 people where I'm bringing savory and sweet products. $160 yesterday at Flower for the entire staff.
Oh, they tell you when you bring the treats in?
Well, yeah, it was right before James, so I had to get it, you know, direct. I didn't want to get it the night before.
Did you volunteer for it, or they
I think we volunteered. But,
oh, okay.
But you can't say no. Like, every parent gets a day. Oh, my God.
Do they still do grades, or is it, like... pass and almost pass. Like,
well, James just started pre-algebra.
You'll probably get an A out of it.
Yeah.
If the treats were good enough.
He seems excited for trigonometry.
Right. Yeah. The A is for admissions, and I'm always grateful for you and Courtney for what you tolerated last year. Anyway, we should reenact that. 26 degrees, mostly cloudy, afternoon high of 45.
It is a Celtics Wednesday, and that means Mego will be with us at 9 to talk all things Celtics. And tomorrow, Bruins Thursday, Mike Milbury. As the Bruins continue to struggle here and there, in the case of last night against the last place Buffalo Sabres. So we will talk to Mike Milbury tomorrow. Curtis had a report earlier out of Canada that should the Bruins be out of a playoff spot come trade deadline time, they would deal Brad Marchand to a contender. And so that is certainly something that we could talk to Mike Milbury about tomorrow morning. And
doesn't it reveal everything you need to know about Marchand, about how enraged he was at Keefe and how complacent he is with the team's poor play?
I mean, what do you mean by that? I mean, I
mean that he was more angry about a radio host report about a relationship he has than he is with the fact that the team just got boat raced by the Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, I mean, I think there have been reports that, you know, morning skate or what have you, he's been loud and upset with the guys. And
right.
I don't know. I have a hard time calling him out.
But he's free to call this place out.
Yeah, but I think that was more personal to him.
Yeah.
Like, I think he got so upset because that was a personal, I'm not going to call it an attack, but it was about his personal life.
Yeah, great players take their performance personally.
Isn't it also just an interesting coincidence that as soon as David Pastrnak is consistently playing on a line that doesn't have Brad Marchand on it, he plays the best hockey he's played all year? Is that just a coincidence?
We can make the argument that there is some, you know, fire there. I would agree. I don't think Marchand is not upset and disappointed in his performance and the team's performance. I don't think he's a guy that's not saying something in that locker room. I don't think he's a guy that's not, you know, who wears that C and isn't vocal. I think he's doing all those things. I agree with you. A lot of players take things, you know, not a lot, but some players take, you know, get a little butt hurt when somebody says something on the, you know, radio or in the media, especially when it's like, you know, where they feel like, oh, it's a personal attack.
Yeah,
right. But if it's baseless, just be friends with the guy.
No, I mean, I think Marchand...
That's not who he is, though.
Yeah, like Marchand...
Right, that's what I'm talking about. He has the ability to use things to perform different ways and to be the sort of emotional fire that this team needs. He's done it before, but he hasn't allowed the play to be what dictates his behavior. He's allowed some guy on the radio saying that he's not friends with David Pastrnak to do a five-minute diatribe.
He's had some good games since then, so I don't really get that point. But if I'm David Pastrnak, or I'm sorry, if I'm Brad Marchand, and I am who I am in the city of Boston, I'd probably react quite similarly.
Yeah, I could,
that's underachieved and only won once.
I could see a guy being a little bit disappointed when he has that and saying some things.
You know how many things were said about David Ortiz or Manny Ramirez or Tom Brady? Like, it's child's play. In comparison, Mo Vaughn won the MVP and was booed out of a parking lot. Like, it's a little different.
Well, I don't know. Like, when did Brady get? When was there a report that Brady didn't like Gronk or didn't like his team or wasn't gonna throw the ball to
wasn't
Gronk,
a good teammate
to Gronk because or
well, I don't remember that.
There's never been any of that. Like so.
Oh, I thought you were saying that there was.
No,
one.
No. I'm saying like when I think with like Ortiz and yeah, there has been stuff off the field, but it's more performance based where I think Keith's scoop, which I believe there's probably a little fire there. Scoop was that Marchand and Pasta. There's friction there. There's some type of issue there. And we haven't really. The last time I think we talked about that with players was probably Marcus Smart, Jalen Brown,
yes.
Like the Jason Tatum yes. relationship.
I just find it
and
funny.
And those guys spoke about it.
I find it funny the hockey fans that went after Keith are silent about the play of the team. Like, it's really, you know, it's easy to go after a guy with a story,
right.
But if the team reacted to the play on the ice, the way they reacted to that report, I think they'd be in a much different place right
also,
now.
Also, just for reference, Brad Marchand, over the last month, only has 7 points, 12 penalty minutes, playing at a -6, whereas David Pastrnak has like 23 points.
Yeah, Pasta's completely turned it on.
Yeah, he's played awesome in the last month.
That's the broader issue, is they are a one-line hockey team.
Agreed.
Again.
Right.
So it's the roster, it's the retool that is necessary. And how do you get there? But we'll talk about all of that with Mike Milbury tomorrow. Shine, right now this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
On the Subaru of New England text line, 603 texter says there was the Tom Brady did not like Jimmy Garoppolo story, if you're looking for one.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yep. Did they talk about that?
Because I don't think he did like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was personal or...
Fun fact, Tom Brady won every other Super Bowl from 2014 to 2021 after Jimmy G got drafted. Pretty wild.
All right, where do you want to start this morning, Shine?
Well, since we're talking about the Bruins, we can hear Coach Joe Sacco and his biggest issue with the loss last night to the Buffalo Sabres.
I guess just the way we managed the game tonight. Didn't like the way that we managed it. You know, you're going to make mistakes in hockey. They happen in the course of a game, but it's how we respond right after those mistakes. And I felt like tonight, be it, you know, turnovers in the offensive zone and then not coming back into our D zone and sorting out our coverage, some poor line changes. Getting a couple of goals in the next shift, obviously not a good response. A couple of goals that we scored, they come out and they respond right away. We have to be better than that next shift. And so I would say game management probably was the most disappointing thing here tonight.
We were hoping to give up 3 hat tricks, but we only could give up 2. I mean,
yeah, I get him. You cut the lead to 4-2, and then what? Not even a minute later, you let a guy split the defense, and you know
he's not the problem. You've gone through three coaches in what, 3 years? Is that or 4 years? Monty, what did Monty have? A year and a half?
Was it a year?
Two years? 2 years and a month, basically.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be looking for a new one come this off season.
All right, what's next?
Well, let's switch over to the New England Patriots. Yesterday, on our WEEI Afternoons program.
What is that?
The afternoon show?
Oh, no, he wants you to play
the jingle.
In the afternoon.
Ted Johnson talked about the Patriots dynasty and where he kind of puts Bill Belichick. This was in... How much percent he gives Bill Belichick for the dynasty?
Look, I respect Bill the coach, and I thought he was a phenomenal coach, and he was perfect for that team and that defense. And so I'd probably give him more credit for our success than maybe most people do. I think Bill was a huge reason we won those Super Bowls. You want me to chop it up?
Yeah.
I go 60, Brady. Are you ready for that? You're not going to like this.
No, I don't think
I'm
going to
love this.
30% others, 10% Bill.
That's Ted Johnson.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Did you just say 10% Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
10%
out of 100?
Let me ask you this. What other coach, how much credit do you give Andy Reid?
I think Andy Reid is on his way to being the greatest coach in the history of football.
So you give him
huge.
What I'm trying to say is, how many coaches would you give even 2%, 5%, 8% credit to for being the reason why you win or lose?
I mean, he said Bill Belichick was a huge part of it, mm-hmm. and then he gave him 10%.
Yeah,
right. That
don't
add up.
A huge part of it.
That's like Shime's math when it comes to his gambling.
I'm going to do the Greg. That's a Super Bowl champion. That's a guy that played for Bill.
Does that math make math?
I mean, I love Ted Johnson. Began his radio career on the old show on WAAF. That's a guy who hates Bill Belichick. Well documented, Curtis. I think
who hated who first?
I would say the first three Super Bowls were more about Bill and what we did defensively and our ability to run the football. But Brady being...
Let me help you out here. Give us your percentage.
My percentage, I would probably go... I'd probably go like 60% or maybe 55 to Brady. And then Bill would obviously get the rest.
Oh,
Bill what about you? Rest.
Yeah, I mean,
None
I think
of the
it's,
others. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's we're kind of like in
like
the
Dante Hightower doesn't get anything. For
no,
that
like we're
Falcon
part
Super
of
Bowl?
That. I think we're more like we're in the Bill 40%, isn't it? Bill and then the rest of us kind of
no,
all.
It's not. It's not.
Well,
how
Ted broke it up as others.
Like you're not redoing the thing. He had so you have nothing going to the others. You have 55% Brady and 45% Bill.
I think when I say like Bill, I think that's him coaching us up to do the things that we're supposed to do. So
I would say this, Greg. NFL owners agree with Ted Johnson. Hard to argue.
Because aren't we in the other category? So, like, what? So, if it's, what do you say, 60% Brady?
Yeah.
So then it's all on Brady? Don't Brady throw the ball to the others?
Yes. Well, he gave 30% to the others.
Like, yeah. I would kind of put us, like, in that mix of it. You know, I'm just talking about the Bill Tom.
I can't figure out what you just.
I'm saying it's Bill and Tom, and like we're part of the others. Like, I wouldn't say us as the players, we were coached by Bill. He obviously coached us to make the right decisions, to do your job, all that other stuff. So we're part of that.
So you give way more credit to Bill than Ted Johnson would.
Yeah, that's why I said I give Bill about 40%. Then we had a great quarterback, or at least the second part of it, because Tom was great when I played with him, but he wasn't the Tom that we saw in the second part of the dynasty.
5-13 before he was brought into action.
What's next?
Well, Greg, you love pizza, right?
Yes.
I think the entire show.
Haven't had it for
pizza.
The entire month of January.
All right, flex.
Gonna need to make some kind of a bar pizza pilgrimage. Maybe this weekend because it's February. Maybe make my way to Town Spa with Bobes and Glash this weekend.
Good choice.
We went there Sunday.
Town Spa?
Awesome.
It's the best.
So good.
So good. We did an IKEA Town Spa rendezvous.
Ah, the best.
And it was unbelievably good.
So there's one other guy who really, really likes pizza, and that would be former New England Patriots coordinator, both offensive and defensive, Matt Patricia. Here he was on Julian Edelman's podcast. Not enough of those, Curtis. What is it? Games with Names. Talking about Patriots Pizza Fridays.
So we had tradition in the defensive room for Pizza Friday.
Pizza Friday.
Pizza Friday was a big thing. That was a big Dante thing when I was on offense. And the idea with Pizza Friday was this. It wasn't about the pizza. It was about the mentality, right? So when you were in school, you had pizza on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Friday's going to be a good day. It was the only meal
pizza
that was actually...
Pizza party, you're always excited.
The only good meal, school meal that you'd actually buy and eat because it's Pizza Friday. But the idea for us was, and again, this is back in the day before it got crazy. Like, it got crazy in New England, but literally, because I had to do the practice schedules, I remember people were amazed. I figured out how to paste, like, it was Domino's and KFC. Like, that's what we had. It was Domino's and KFC. And I'd paste them on the practice schedules. Like, oh, it's Pizza Friday. Thank God. All right, the work week, we're coming to the end.
Yeah.
It's all positive. Let's not be yelling and screaming today. Yeah. Let's go out, have a good practice.
Good mental day.
Let's feel good.
Let's be able to sleep
let's
on
have
Saturday.
A good mental day. Scar, if you remember, he'd be like, don't ruin Pizza Friday. Don't make, because Scar had the other side that could come out real quick. And he'd be like, don't ruin Pizza Friday. I'm not yelling today.
Pizza Friday, I'm in favor of it.
Yeah.
If you do it in the workplace or it's always a good go-to meal on Friday nights when everybody's worked all week. You don't want to cook.
Everywhere I've been, it was a Friday fun day. It was like food was brought in Minnesota. They used to bring, there was this really good Chinese restaurant and they used to bring in Chinese food after practice. So it's always Friday. You knew
hey, we're getting something after practice.
Yeah, I used to love when I was at Rivers, we would go to TGI Fridays for Buffet Friday. That was my...
Chinese! Chinese, kid!
Matt Patricia looks on that podcast like he has lost a Toyota.
Yeah.
Looks right. Like he lost a couple hundred pounds.
I didn't even realize who it was. Yeah. I watched a decent amount of it, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden it hit me. He is half his body weight.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Yeah.
Ozempic. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, we don't know that.
What?
We don't know that he was...
That's what everybody was...
We don't know that.
Every person who's... What do you mean? Every
no,
person
we don't know that.
Okay. Well,
Ozempic just got cleared for more usage. For like kidney problems moving forward, they're using it to help people. So,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with it either.
Nope, all you Ozempic haters, it's helping people.
If it's a little bit of a way to kickstart the engine, you might as
That's
well.
That's not even kickstarting for him, though. He is thin.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Probably just cut out the sweets. Not Ozempic.
But it's hard for people to do that.
Just cut out the sweets.
Well, when you don't have to coach in the NFL anymore, you're not on like the Charlie Weiss diet.
I don't know if you've noticed, Greg, but food can be addicting.
Yeah.
Like, look at that photo of him.
So
he looks great. He really
like, any type, anything that is addictive, sometimes you need a little bit of, you know, some form of a medicine or medication to help you.
When I first saw it, I said, which one's Edelman?
I control the food demons.
Very difficult to control the fool demon on your own.
The fool demon.
So on your own. So you need some help every now and then.
All right. That is They Said It. And we're going to get to Courtney in today's news next, including, unfortunately, the rational exploding toilet fear that a man in Pennsylvania suffered. So we will get to all of the news next.
It's time for...
She's spoken at lunch with two popular hosts of WEI, two popular radio personalities.
The news.
She was spotted during trial at expensive restaurants, dining with lawyers, radio hosts, or social media influencers.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Wiggy sold me a bill of rights.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I've made an error.
On WEEI.
Well, Curtis always does a great job with the weather for us, but we didn't stress enough about the strong winds yesterday, which caused problems all over.
Also a warning, I think, today.
Yes.
For very strong winds.
Yep.
Fun fact, Boston is the windy city, not Chicago. Windiest city in America. Chicago's only windy because of their politics.
Okay.
In Weymouth, one man was killed and 4 others injured when home construction collapsed. The wind gusts were between 40 and 50 miles per hour. If you're watching on Twitch, you can see the house that unfortunately fell. Here's one witness, Sonny Nugent on BZ.
It was a very strong gust of wind out of nowhere. You know, very, very violent wind. The whole power line was just wobbling up and down. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. Jesus. Really sad. And in Quincy, winds caused 4 stories of scaffolding to collapse at the corner of Washington and Edison Street.
Jeez.
Luckily, workers were able to jump onto a 3rd-floor balcony and safely get to the ground.
And nobody's hurt below either?
No.
Oh, my God.
Very lucky. We can hear from a resident on WHDH.
We thought it was an earthquake again, you know, and holy moly.
Yep.
All right.
By the way, they have the renderings out for the Edison building on the corner of Summer and First Street in Southie. It's going to be like Assembly Row. It's going to be insane.
It makes me want to live in Southie forever. It looks unbelievable.
So they're doing a whole retail mall there, and then they're doing residences as well.
And a big hotel.
Yeah, and a hotel.
And a hotel.
Curtis, what's unbelievable for you and James is the outdoor space that's supposed to go right up to the water.
Hmm.
Like, it's going to have so much outdoor space.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Beautiful. Look
out. Like Assembly Row, you said.
Yes,
okay,
yeah.
That would be nice.
And we got somewhat of an explanation of the drones. We were talking about the drones quite a bit, and then all of a sudden, bam.
The drones were gone.
Yes.
Now we got an explanation from the new administration.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Donald Trump promised this, so we can hear from his press secretary, Caroline Leavitt.
After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational, and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity, This was not the enemy.
All right.
Okay.
So they were just lying to us that whole time?
I mean, that's generally what they do. Shime was right then.
What's
nailed
that?
It.
Shime said, remember he said it was like a community of drone people?
Well, yeah. Did Shime say that? I don't remember that. There was a...
Just can't give me any credit, huh?
So we thought it might be the aliens, not the aliens.
Nope.
Thought it might be China, not China.
Nope.
So.
Can I just ask, why can't we stipulate what it was researching?
Correct.
Right.
That's pretty vague.
Great yeah, but like at question. Least it's an answer. Why couldn't they have just. This is the answer they could have given us in the first place. Everybody's like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. but it would have been way easier.
But what the rumor was that there may be a nuclear device.
A dirty bomb.
Somewhere. So wouldn't that be part of research?
Yeah.
Could be.
Like, that could also be what was going on.
Very scary. An irrational fear in the news. An exploding toilet at City Hall in Pittsburgh landed one 65-year-old employee in the hospital. This was caused by bad plumbing. The guy will be okay. He was treated for a gash on his leg. But other than that, he's good.
Wow.
Here's the audio from the emergency responders on WPXI.
Along with EMS and the sheriff's units, are requesting a city officer respond to the fifth floor. They have a 65-year-old male with a gash to his leg after having a toilet explode.
Jesus.
Very scary. Guy.
Sitting on the toilet, the thing just explodes.
Trying to do his business.
Yeah. Right.
Ended up in the on the first floor. The poor man.
What would you rather have? The toilet explode? Or a snake come out of the toilet.
Oh. Shime, I was just thinking the same exact thing.
It's my biggest fear.
Same. Really? Especially if you're in, the southern states. I always check the toilets before,
Really?
Well, I mean, if a snake just comes up and then gets you.
That is true. Bites you right on the tuchus.
Yeah.
I would love to spend like an hour in Courtney's brain.
You really wouldn't.
It is fascinating.
Like, she's scared of everything.
The thing that resonated with me the most is we're driving, having an awesome trip to Florida. Wouldn't you know, a morning show that gets along. and we're driving and Courtney just out of the blue is like, oh, this is where that girl died 16 years ago after the high-speed chase. I was like, what? Yeah.
No, wasn't it like a
plane crash?
Or a plane crash.
Yeah.
It was timely. Yeah. It had happened like a month before.
Okay, sorry.
But yeah, no, that is where my brain usually goes.
I never once thought sitting on the toilet a snake was going to come up.
That doesn't even cross your mind.
I've thought about that many times.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
All
right. I hate snakes, though.
Right. Yeah, me too. A new study says that 55% of people think that Monday after the Super Bowl should be a holiday. I'm in that 55%.
Correct.
Some want it, though, to be played on a Saturday. Yeah, so that they have Sunday to recover.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, we could hear from Travis and Jason Kelce, who reacted to that idea on their New Heights podcast.
No.
Completely
it's
out.
One day out of the year, all right? One day.
The Super Bowl is meant to be played on Sunday.
Yeah.
If anything... we need to make Monday a holiday.
Yeah.
Just make Monday a holiday. The country should change what they're doing for the Super Bowl, not the Super Bowl for the country.
Come on now, people.
Come on.
I'm cool with that, playing on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Plenty of time off between 2 weeks.
Obviously Sunday has been NFL football Sunday forever. Why wouldn't it be on it? Saturday night would be great.
We don't need to worry about this. When they go to 18 games, likely next year, then the calendar bumps a week,
and it's already a day off.
It's already President's Day weekend.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, sadly, they've been trying to measure out of home viewing, but it's still inexact. And the night before a work day, more people are in their home, thereby more people will be watching it on their own TV, which increases ratings, which is why Saturday and Friday nights are the worst TV nights of the week.
Okay. I don't know if this is reflective of how people feel when it comes to interest in the game or not, but tickets are cheaper this year than last year.
Chiefs fatigue is the report.
Is that what it is?
That's what they're thinking.
Yeah. So
even though it was the most watched non-Super Bowl of all time.
Right. Almost 58 million people.
Right.
The average ticket is about $8,000. Cheapest ticket as of yesterday was $5,700 for the Super Bowl. And so that is down from last year.
That's down?
Yeah. I have a dumb question. I've never gone to a Super Bowl. If it's $8,000 for a seat, what do they get you to park?
You don't really have to. I don't think you have to pay for parking.
Really?
I'm not sure. No. I mean, unless, like, when they have it in Miami, they have all those, you know, you get off that, off-ramp, which takes you 5 hours, because they have one off-ramp off the highway that goes down to, is it still Joe Robbie or what's it called?
It is,
I think it's
Hard Rock.
And then they have, people have lots, like, in their yards, and so they can charge you. But most people, Curtis, are not even parking, though, they're visiting and they're taking.
What's the most amount of money you've ever personally spent for a ticket for an event?
Like back in the day, I used to buy Super Bowl tickets, and they were like $3,000, not $8,000.
Damn. So. I wish I could spend that much.
I wish I could still get my Super Bowl tickets.
I know.
Oh, that was a lick right there, boy.
I feel like if you've played in a Super Bowl, you should have a lifetime of getting a Super Bowl ticket.
No, it should be if you...
I mean, nobody else left in the arena.
What do you mean?
There's hundreds of players, thousands of players who have played in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That are...
You just get one ticket.
There thousands that are...
Who would want one ticket?
Yeah, you don't want one ticket.
Well, that's what you get.
We used to get two tickets if you weren't in the Super Bowl and you played in the NFL.
Yeah.
I wonder if they
Take that away.
I wonder if they still... No. I'd rather say, hey, listen, if you played in the NFL, you're still able to buy two tickets at face value.
Yeah. But did you used to sell your tickets when you weren't playing?
Yep. Hell
yes,
yeah.
You did. Even when you were playing, you probably sold
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that.
You're not
supposed to do a lot of things and we do it.
How many do you get if you're playing?
Like 10, right?
It depends. Yeah. I think it's more on the organization on how much they want to give to each player.
Did you give your Panthers tickets to Patriots fans?
No. But there's generally people, like, there are the vultures that are there, and they know. So generally it's one guy's like, hey, I got this guy. He's willing to buy everybody's tickets or whatever. So there's one vulture that is, like, you know, willing to kick over some serious cash.
All right, we're going to take a break. We will get to the rest of the news with Courtney next.